One of the images I've sort of used over the last few months is that is the church as God's kitchen. The kitchen, the church is like God's kitchen. And why is it like God's kitchen? It is like God's kitchen because in the old days, in those old drafty, windy palaces and residences in Europe, and Northern Europe and Norway and England, the kitchen was the one warm place that everyone could go to. It was a place in which it was a delight to be because you had food. And it was also the place in which you prepared food for the king. It was also the place you prepared food for each other. And it was the place where you learned to be a cook. And so those are some of the images about the church too. We here prepare and present praise to God in our worship. This is a warm place where we are together and we are the people of God together. This is where we learn about not how to cook so much, but how God has spoken to us, or what God says to us through the Bible. So today I just want to extend the image, and I'm not going to preach for very long today because we've got communion, but to extend the image one further point, and that is, who watches Downton Abbey? Okay, there's one or two. Downton Abbey is that program about the British upper class in the 1920s. And you may or may not have seen this episode, but it's the episode in which Lord Grafton and all the rich family serve the servants. It's one day in the year the Lord of the manor serves the servants. In other words, he comes down, he pours the wine for the servants, he cooks for the servants, he prepares the food for the servants along with his family. And he comes down to the kitchen, perhaps the only time the whole year, and does this. And so the image of the kitchen today reminds us that the Lord has come into the church and prepared this meal for us, and he invites us to come to him. Today, there's no challenges whatsoever in this sermon. Right, I'm not going to challenge you to go out and do better ministry or join our film festival or do anything. What I'm simply going to do is ask you to relax, sit back in your seat, and allow God to feed you and nourish you in this meal. Just as Lord Grafton came down to the kitchen and served the servants. Now, there was an interesting thing in that episode in which, who knows Carson, the servant? Yep, I see. There's probably lots of you don't know this episode, this series, but Carson was this very traditional servant, head servant, and he was very uncomfortable about the Lord serving him. And one of the things that we do today is relax and know that the Lord wants to serve us in this meal here and nourish us, build us up, and make us individually and as a church stronger, more full of grace, peace and joy. So the day today, this communion, is the day to relax and to enjoy the Lord. However, if you look at this book, this passage, you see something interesting that we don't normally mention in the communion as we come to communion. Did anyone notice during the reading what was happening, or what Paul was talking about? He was he gave those great words of institution. This is my blood and body shed, broken for you, and so on. However, before and after that, he's talking about something that he's not so happy about. What was it? People were coming in, and they were eating before anyone else had got there. They were probably eating up all the food. They were totally ignoring each other. There was probably a bit of a bun fight over the food. And Paul is very unhappy that in this situation, they are not showing hospitality and love and grace to each other. And so he is telling them they have to wait for each other. Now, I'm not sure, John, if like me, growing up, you had to sit at the table, right, and wait, not even touch the cutlery, don't even look at the food until everyone else was seated, right? Yep. And it was only when the older people started eating that you could start eating. I can see the nodding going. This was our culture, the way we grew up. And you had to have your hands on the lap. And of course you didn't say anything. No elbows on the table and no nudging your sibling next door. So it was a very ordered place. This is total chaos that Paul is talking about here. And he is wanting to say, let us remember the significance of what this meal is about. Let's have fun and enjoyment and enjoy being together. But let's remember, too, the significance of what it is that's happening here. Jesus Christ has come among us. He has invited us here today. This is his meal. He has cooked this. And we have nothing, not to have to do nothing except enjoy the meal that is here for us. However, does that mean we have to be like the good old bad days, where like John and I, you no talking with your mouth full, no saying anything until you're asked, a very kind of sedate, unenjoyable time, really, in a sense. No, it doesn't mean that. When I first went to Taiwan, I lived in a village near Miaoli, which is in the northeast area, and there were four generations. And the old man, the grandpa, the great-grandpa of the house was the top businessman. Everybody listened to him. Nobody spoke when he spoke. However, the meal times when all the four generations were there were total chaos. There were no table manners at all. So everybody was having a great deal of fun. They were talking with their mouth full. They were reaching across. And they were just talking about the day. And in fact, I don't think it was like at all what Paul was talking about, because they were listening to each other and it was a family time. And even though from my good born in Christchurch, grown up in this kind of society point of view, there were no table manners whatsoever and I was a bit stunned to start off with. Nevertheless, that was a total family environment where everyone was enjoying themselves. And I'm sure Jesus Christ was right in the middle of that, having a great deal of fun too. And enjoying everything from the chicken's head soup to whatever else was on the table. So that is not what Paul is talking about, where there is a great deal of fun, great deal of celebration going on. What he's talking about is a lack of hospitality, lack of genuinely thinking about each other. That's what he's thinking about here, not table manners as such. So the point I just want to make is, let's come together duly recognizing the significance of what this meal is. This meal has been given for us by Jesus Christ, who has come to us, and his body is indeed broken for us on the cross. That is a solemn and very important point for us to be reflecting on. However, let's also paradoxically enjoy it, like in Miaoli, where we are having a great deal of fun because we are brought together as one people, one family in Jesus Christ. One thing I do want to just emphasize in the coming communions is just one point each time. And the point I want to mention this time is forgiveness. Forgiveness. What is the key point in the cross and the whole story of the communion? And that is, God forgives us. And God brings us to him by forgiving our sins and by restoring our relationship with him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent then and return to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the time of refreshing may come from the Lord." Your sins may be wiped out. Today we might say taken out, like in, the military take out a target. That's just taken out. It's gone. It's no longer there. In school terms, it's like on a blackboard. You wipe away the sins. And sins... what is sins? What are sins? What are sins? A big question. I'm not going to take time on it now. Let me just say one thing, that sin, the word sin is very hard to translate. And what it means, and one way that they tried to translate it into Chinese, and they didn't use this word in the end, was by saying, they used the word that when you shoot an arrow and it falls short. That word for falling short is sin. So we fall short of what God intends for us. We fall short of the people that he intends us to be. And we do that through our own weakness, our own fault, and our own ignorance. And so God forgives that falling shortness. He forgives us for not doing our best for him. And so today I'll just leave that thought there about sin. about and just leave it as falling short. What I do want to focus on is, today, I do not forgive you, God forgives you. And one of the great insights of the Presbyterian Church and the Reformed churches was to change the basic statement during the course of the sermon and during the course of the communion about forgiveness. The priest in the old Catholic Church, not now, but in the old Catholic Church, would say, I forgive you. You come to confession, you sit in the box, and the priest would forgive you. The minister today and later on, I will say, God forgives you. Not me, God. And that was one of the basic theological changes that occurred with the Reformation. It is not the minister who forgives you, it is God who forgives you. And the point then is, if God forgives you, who are you not to forgive yourself? If God forgives you for whatever it is, and there's nothing that cannot be forgiven, if God forgives you, who are you not to forgive yourself? Because that would be to say, well, God might forgive me, but I have higher standards. I have something else. God forgives you as you come to the table, if you confess your sins and repent. And all that means is you acknowledge in your heart and genuinely that you have fallen short. And then God forgives you. So that is one of the changes. And as we go through the service, please just note that when I say God has forgiven you, it is not me. It is God himself who has indeed forgiven you. And don't dare not forgive yourself for whatever it is in the past, because God has forgiven you. Don't put yourself as greater than God. So we come to the communion. Normally, we would have all been here last night if we were back in the 19th century in the traditional Presbyterian church. Why would we be doing that? In the traditional service, in the traditional service, communion was held four times a year, not every month, on a Sunday morning, four times a year to go with each season, right? In the between communions, you would come to services and you would be reflecting on the word so that next time you came to communion, you would be more informed, you would have God formed more in your life. On Saturday night, before the sermon, you would come as a preparatory service. You would come to prepare yourself, and we would be together to prepare ourselves for what is about to happen. And in that, from that time to the sermon, to the communion, you would not eat. Why not? From last night at 7:30 till now, you would not eat. And that is to get around what Paul was saying here, to be knowledgeable and aware that this meal is the first meal of the day, and this meal we await and prepare ourselves, and part of the sacrifice is not eating prior to that. And so we come prepared, and that was the intention of the Saturday night service. So, 2 points for today. Remember that forgiveness is key. God has forgiven, not me, God. And that we prepare ourselves to come to this meal that God has invited himself to us to. This is a time of joy and celebration of being together as a family. And so we are the family of God together. Amen.